Good morning, Rabosai. Welcome to Shari Tefila's first annual Haggadah Shir. It should be the first of many Haggadah Shirs that take place in Yerushalayim HaBenuya, Be'ezus Hashem. We want to thank Mr. and Mrs. David Malik for sponsoring this morning's breakfast and Shir, Lila Nishmas, his parents, Ephraim Tzvi Ben Rav Yechiel Michal, and his mother, Elka Bas Alter Chaim David. Aleyhi HaShalom, and Hashem should have an Alibis Chis, the Alibis Torah B'Rabim. Inasmuch as yesterday there was a shir that I had to spend a lot of time on, I wasn't able to, formulate this shir in the regular format that we do. So we're just going to give different shtiklach on different aspects in the Haggadah, things that I thought were interesting, that touched me, that were different, that I hadn't heard before. So hopefully we'll find them meaningful, interesting, and maybe even at some point a touch inspirational. So one of the fundamental perushim on the Haggadah is the Haggadah of the Maaseh Hashem. It was written by, I forgot his name, he was the Rav of Krakow, I believe right after the Ramah. And a lot of the later Haggadahs, Achronim, quote material and build their material off this Haggadah Maaseh Hashem. The Nesivos himself quotes a lot from the Maaseh Hashem. And I want to share with you one very beautiful thought that puts a lot of things in perspective. Can I just have a sheet? I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm sorry. If you get it, yeah. The Maaseh Hashem raises the question: why is it so important for us to realize? Why was it so important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim on a circuitous route when He took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim in the beginning of Bishalach? He said there's something very deep happening in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out in an indirect way. And he says, I think it's a beautiful idea. What's happening in the mind, in the psyche of Klal Yisrael as they leave Mitzrayim? They think, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. But you know what else is wow? Wow, Paro, after we were his chattel, we were his slaves, we were owned by him, he owned us, and in the goodness and graciousness of his heart, guess what? He said, you guys could go free. Remember, it wasn't that we escaped, it's that Paro sent us out. And there's a big difference between somebody who escapes. Somebody who escapes has no hakaras hatov to the person who, to his previous slave owner. Masha'ein kain, when somebody is freed by a slave owner, as miserable as that slave owner might have treated the slave, the fact that at the very end the slave owner says, you know what, I'm going to free you, that's the greatest act of beneficence, that's the greatest act of tzedakah, of a chesed. So forevermore, the slave, as miserable an adon as the slave owner might have been, all the duration of the slavery, but once the slave owner frees him, the eved is going to feel forever indebted to that slave owner. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that the very last interaction that Klal Yisrael should have with Paro shouldn't be their memory that he freed them. But rather, it should be after he freed them, he chased them. So you remember, the very last thing, the very last memory you have of Paro is not that he did something nice to you, but that he freed you, after his arm was twisted and his arm was about to snap behind his back, he did free you, yeah. But after that, he tried to catch you again. And therefore, you have to realize that you have absolutely no hakaras hatov to anybody, anything other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no human being, not even, of course, that's the reason why Moshe's not in the Haggadah, but you shouldn't have any ounce of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to anything, any power other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu for freeing you. And I think that's a very important, a beautiful idea.
But yet plan A was to ask Paro, and if Paro had actually said yes at that time before he got in trouble, he would have freed them.
What would have happened, I don't know. Right. This is what did happen. Okay, that's the first thought. I want to share with you another thought from the Haggadah of Maaseh Hashem, from Krakow, on Halach Ma'anya. His answer is very, very, very long. I'm not going to go into his answer, but I want to raise the question that he asks. It's a question that all the kids like to ask, and there are different answers to this question of how come Halach Ma'anya, that first introductory paragraph, is written in Aramis and not in Hebrew like the rest of the Haggadah. So he quotes the Abarbanel. I want you to just appreciate the questions that he asks on the Abarbanel's suggestion. And that itself, I think, is very informative and interesting. So he quotes the Abarbanel. Maharia bar Benel, Rav Yitzchak bar Benel, in his parish on the Haggadah, Hevi Deos, Masher Kidmu, he brings some earlier opinions. Some say, Sheksasam Amru, Shesudar Beloshin Arami, Kdei Shelo Yavo Hamazikim, Shemavina Beloshin HaKodesh, Lelach Lech HaSeuda. So bar Benel quotes some earlier Mefarsh, that the reason why we started Aramis is because the Mazikim don't understand Aramis, and we don't want them to, you know, latch on. They understand here, they could latch on, they could destroy the Koach, the incredible power that we have at Lel HaSeder. We don't want them to, you know,
mess up
the incredible Avodas Hashem that we're going to do at this Lel HaSeder. So we sort of catch them off guard, we introduce the Seder with a Lashon that they don't understand. V'tanase, and Abba Benel commented on that explanation for Amar. There are numerous questions about this issue. First, Rishon b'metzias hashedim. I'm not going to get into that. That's really the are there shedim michlal? Do their shedim exist? That itself is machlokas. The Rambam, the Rashba, you know, the Chachmei, you know, the more rationalists and the more mekubalim. V'hashenis. Furthermore, sheyavinu b'lashon hakodesh v'lo b'lashon aramis. That the shedim only understand Hebrew or maybe other language, but they don't understand lashon aramis. We know there are other places where we have this idea that the Shedim don't understand Lashon Aramis, that's why we say certain things in Aramis. Okay, but without getting into that. V'gamtan, look at the next paragraph at the middle of the line. V'gamtan ma she'amar, she'amru, she'gavriel limed es yoseh shivim lashon. Wow, the Babinel says, how could you say that the Shedim or the whatever is the Shedim don't understand Aramis? After the Shedim Malach, whatever, the Kochos don't understand Aramis. After all, who taught Yosef Hatzadik the Shivim Lashon when he was in Beis Paro? Chazal say it was Gavriel.
He's in a Masik.
So what do you see?
He's special.
But it's talking about, right, the tradition that we have is that the Malachim don't speak Aramis. And he asked the Gavriel Kasha. He says, but Gavriel was the very one, was the very Malach who did teach Yosef the Shivim Lashon. That means Gavriel apparently didn't know Aramis. So how can you say Malachim don't know Aramis?
What?
Well, any language is a Tirgum of Hebrew. Meaning, Tirgum just means a translation of. Okay, fine. He's assuming that Aramis is one of the 70 languages, because if it wasn't, then there'd be 71. So, that's what he's assuming. That's the Abar Benel's challenge to those people who say that we start halach ma'ani in Aramis because the Shade and Malach, whatever it is, they don't understand Hebrew. Says the Maaseh Hashem, look at his Gevaldig Akasha. Uve Emes, the Abar Benel, in asking this question, lo ra'a, last paragraph, mashenemar, an explicit Gemara in Sota. Shesham Amru, look at this, how he just puts this Gemara together, this Gemara in Sota. Shekola Malachim eina mevinim lashem Arami chutz, Gavriel. Wow, Gemara in Sota Mefurish, that the Malachim don't understand Aramis except Gavriel, who does understand. And therefore, he answered the Abarbanel's question. The Abarbanel's question was, how could you say the Malachim don't understand Aramis? After all, Gavriel was the one who taught Yosef. Says the Maaseh Hashem. You'd have forgot the Gemara in Sota. Gemara in Sota says that Gavriel is the one Malach who does know Aramis. Beautiful, putting these two together. Furthermore, I'll just skip to the last two lines. Od kasev b'shem yishakom. Abba Benel quoted another explanation why we start b'lashon aramis, that we want shabachru l'sader perikzeh b'lashon aramis k'desh yavinu hataf. The children in Bavel, wherever the Haggadah, whenever, wherever the Haggadah was written by the Baal Haggadah, they spoke English, they spoke Yiddish, they spoke aramis, they didn't necessarily speak Hebrew. So therefore he wanted to start off the Seder with something, you know, that they'd all understand in their natural mother tongue. Who tunnels then? He raises the Barbanel's challenge. Im Kane, Perik Manishtan, who Yosir Negan Hanashim Ataf. Manishtan would be more appropriate to say in Aramis, because that's really the goal, that's really the thing that the kids are supposed to be involved with. So therefore, he, again, what his answers are, we're not going into, but I thought his questions were fascinating questions on the recognized answer that it's to keep the mazikim out and for the children. Okay, let's go to make another point. We have numerous things that we do at the Seder to make changes. Kadesha Tinokos Yisho, right? So there are two here. The Gemara, when it talks about the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, that it raises the question, are children obligated in Dalet Kosos? So the Gemara says, no, we're not going to give children yayin, ela mechalkin lehem klayas ve'egozim be'er Pesach, kedei she'lo yishnu v'yishalu. What are they going to ask? They'll ask whatever they ask. I don't really care what they ask. Similarly, the Gemara in Pesach and Kuftes Vav, Lama Okran and Sashulchan, why do we keep on moving away? Right, in the olden days, yeah, they had these little TV dinner tables. Nowadays, we just cover the color of the mats and open it and cover it and open it. Lama Okran and Sashulchan, Omer Derei Rabbi Yanai, Kadesh Yakira, Tinokos, V'yishalu. What are they going to ask? More specifically? Why are you moving the table? What does moving the table have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Nothing, really. Manishtana, that's also the point. Manishtana, at least, has to do with Chametz, Korban Pesach, according to the Gears of the Mishnah, Maror, Tibul. Moving the table is not any of the mitzvahs of the Leil Seder. Okay, but you'll see the point that we're getting at. You'll see the point that we're getting at. Havi Yosef, of course, you have the story. Havi Yosef, Abai, Havi Yosef, Kamei the Rabba, the Chazid, the Komedali, Tachem, Kamei. He saw that he was moving the table. Amar Lehu, why are you taking the table away? We don't even eat yet. And after all, what are you moving everything away? We have to eat first. And he says, Ah, Patatim, Lomar, Manishtana, which makes the question even stronger. The question of why are you doing this has nothing to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim or Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim or the Mitzvahs Halayla. So why just, it's almost like there's a significance to asking random questions that have nothing to do with anything.
It's your chance to give an answer that has to do with the real thing.
Okay, so you're just generating questions.
Right.
So I do, at my Seder, we sort of capitalize on this chazal, and we said, okay, any kid who asks a question, I mean, I basically fulfilled what the Gemara and Kuftes Amud Aleph said. Any kid who asks a question, you'll get a candy. So my kids started, asking, how come Chinese have slanty eyes? How come, and they just asked random questions. They just wanted the candy. Yeah. And I had no choice. I had to give them, what's the answer? Sorry. So I had to answer them because I said, I'm going to give them candy. I had to get their candies. But what does that have to do with anything that we're trying to learn? It doesn't help us anything. I want to share with you a beautiful idea that I heard actually from my dear chaver, Ari Leibowitz, a beautiful answer to this. The yesod of asking questions is not because, like Mr. Klein said, you're going to ask a question that will just give you the opportunity to engage them with something that actually is significant, something that actually does have to do with CPC and Mitzrayim and the Mitzvah Halayla. It's not for the tool, it's much more than that. What's the yesod of Yetzias Mitzrayim? The yesod of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that there's a world of Teva, there's a world that has a Seder, an Olam Kamin Hago Noheg. And what you want to do at the Leil Seder, which is the yesod of all of the yesod of Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the Ramban says, that the purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim is that mitoch anisim ha'gluyim adam makir b'nisim ha'nistarim, and a person comes to realize through that one moment in history when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed all of Teva, demonstrated that he is the Bailam on the world, Bailam on Teva, so that you and I, for the rest of history, could remember that everything that happens in our lives and everything that happens to Klal Yisrael for the rest of history is also Hashgacha Pratis. That's the whole goal of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the whole goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to show how Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world, just like he did it in an open way then. He so similarly runs the world with Hashgacha for the rest of history. In other words, what are we trying to say? There's a Seder to the world, there's a Teva, and guess what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went Me'al HaTeva. Every order of everything that should have been in a certain order, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it and spun it like a top. It's all mishkababbled. There's no Seder. When it comes to Ratzon Hashem, Hashem does whatever he wants. There's no Seder. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. That itself is the most significant lesson that a parent could teach their child that we could instill in ourselves as far as what the yesod of the Leil HaSeder, what Pesach is all about. The yesod is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what he wants. There's no such thing as Seder. There's no such thing as, but the way we normally do things is. That concept doesn't exist. And therefore, there is a value, not because you do something weird, and therefore he's going to ask a question, why you do something weird, something different, and now I could tell you about, matzah and Pesach and Maror. No, that's not the point. The point is I could tell you that things are different. Just like we're doing things, I'm not bound by normalcy. I'm not bound by the way I do things every dinner that we have as a family. I'm not bound by the normal, the normal etiquette of running a family table. I'm not bound by anything. That's the yesod of that's the yisod, the state of the yisod of the mitzvah of Sifu Yitzias Mitzrayim. And there's a fascinating machshava. I might use it in next year's drasha on Parashas Shmos. But the Ber Yosef, Rav Yosef Salant, points out something interesting. When Klal Yisrael were originally enslaved, of course, by the Shibud, this was part of a conversation. It was a governmental decision that Paro decided, but he had help making that decision. The Gemara on the bottom of the page, Gemara in Sota, as well as in Sanhedrin, Shlosha Hayuba Osa Eitza. Right? When Paro made this decision to throw the children to the Or, to enslave Klal Yisrael, Bilam was there, Eov was there, and Yisro were there. Now, the Rav Yosef Salant points out that, what did they say? I'm sorry, what did each one of them say? Bilam Sheya'atz, Bilam gave the Eitza, you know what, let's kill the babies, let's enslave Klal Yisrael, so he got killed. Ultimately, he killed the Cherev many years later. Eov Sheshasak, Eov was silent. So what happened to him? Nidon B'Yisurin. Yisro Shebarach, he didn't want to have anything to do with this conversation. Zachum Ibnei Banav Sheyesh Ublishkas Hagazis. That was his reward. Yisro's grandchildren indeed were Megayer. Now, can I ask you a question? Let's take each one of these personalities and see what their reaction should have been. Who is Bilam? Bilam was the one person who could kill a whole nation with a word. Say Kalem, and the world, the nation is destroyed. As Balak in the conversation between Balak and Bilam, the interaction between Balak and Bilam is indeed that why you Balak tells them I could just destroy all of Klal Yisrael in a snap. I'm sorry, Bilam tells the Balak I could destroy them in a snap. So, if there's one person in the world who, when he hears that there's a problem of a nation that's putting somebody else at risk, Paro says, "My dear friend Bilam, I have a terrible problem. There's this fifth column that's building itself up in my nation. What should I do to destroy them?" What should Bilam respond?
"I'll do it for you.
For a small price, I'm happy to just say Kalem and they'll be destroyed." And who's the specific person who gives the whole eitz of a whole plan of how you could do it and what you could do and a strategy and tactics and how you could destroy Klal Yisrael? That's Bilam. That's not characteristic. Okay. Eov. Who was Eov? Eov, I invite you to look at the Gemara Bava Basra. Eov, the Gemara Bava Basra says, was perhaps on the level of Avram Avinu, if not greater. Look at the third line, Amar Rav Yochanan, Godol Hanemar Eov Yosef Mashenemar Bavram. Eov was in a certain level greater than Avram Avinu. And not only that, but Eov was known to be specifically the most compassionate, the most merciful, the most sensitive soul that existed. The Pasuk in Eov itself says, talking about Eov, Yadai Rafos Techazek, those who are weak, you strengthen, Koshel Yekimun, you lift up those who are downtrodden, Koshel Yekimun Milacha, your words lift up those who are sad and then downtrodden, Birkayim Koros, those knees that are buckling under pressure, under pain, Ta'amet, you strengthen them. Eov was the most caring, concerned person, empathetic, sympathetic, merciful. And what's his reaction? Eov hears that an entire nation is going to be killed. All the boys of an entire people. It's going to be a genocide. And what's his reaction to a genocide? Silence. It's absolutely against his personality. Yisro, I'm not going to get into that. That's a little more of an arichas. Says Rav Yosef Salant, you see something incredible. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in establishing, remember, this was the moment when the entire Shibud got off its feet. From the very moment of that opening, of that beginning of the Shibud, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already at work turning the world on a, how he wants it to, how he wants things to be, spinning it to spin to his tune, Kivyachol. And therefore, the world is not Olam Kiminhag Onoheg. The whole Shibud was based on the fact that he took each person, what they should have said, what they should have responded, and switched it around and flipped it around. That's the whole beginning of the Shibud. If you think about Moshe Rabbeinu's birth, who is Moshe Rabbeinu? Why was the Moshiach Shel Yisrael born? Because Bedavka, Basya, the daughter of the person who says that he has to be killed, Basya was the one who saved him. And what did Basya name him? Could you imagine the daughter of Paro? Paro just made a gzera that every baby has to be thrown into the order to be killed. Basya comes up and says, "Guess what, Daddy? I just found a little baby in the yard. I'm going to adopt him as a stepchild, as an adopted son, as a foster kid. And not only that, but you know what I'm going to call him? You know what I'm going to call him? I'm going to call him, I pulled him out of the water. Is that the biggest slap in the face that Paro could ever have? What Paro was the one who made the gzera that you have to throw them into the water. And not only did Basi, his own daughter, take him out of the water, but she calls him forevermore a name that means that I pulled him out of the water in defiance of her own father's gzera. Everything's just backwards. Everything's just the whole geula comes from the whole shiba, the geula, it all comes from everything being the opposite of the way it should be. And that's the yesod. That's why, we want the children to realize things are different. Things are different. I don't care if it's going to get me to an answer of being able to see Avadim Hayinu, it's going to be able to explain why Pesach and Matzah and more. That's not the point. The point is, things are different. I'm showing you things are different. You have to realize, my dear son, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he took us out of Mitzrayim, took us out because he wasn't bound by any rules. Things were different. And that's the yesod of asking, of causing the children to ask questions, to notice that things are different. If you do 12 jumping jacks, say, everybody, we're going to get up and do 12 jumping jacks. And they say, Abba, why are you doing 12 jumping jacks? That's not the point that now you could say, because 12 is the gematria of anything to do with the Seder. The point is that things are different. And that's what we're trying to teach our children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't limited. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did as he wanted, not bound by any rules of Teva Bichlal. Okay, let's go to another point. Two nice thoughts about Ilu Kervana Lefnei HaSinei. Of course, there are so many explanations. I'll just share two with you that happened to strike me. Ilu Kervana Lefnei HaSinei, V'lonas and Lanu HaSatorah, Dayenu. So, of course, the question is, what do you mean? What's the point of bringing us to HaSinei? The whole point of being us to HaSinei was that we got the Torah. So what would be the Dayenu if you Kervana Lefnei HaSinei, V'lonas and Lanu HaSatorah? So, let's learn some Hilchas Birchas HaTorah together. There's a tour. The tour says an interesting lashon, and this interesting lashon I think could help us appreciate what Ilu Kevan Lefnei HaSinei V'lonas and Lanas HaTorah would mean. Says the tour introducing Birchas HaTorah that first you say Asher Kedushan Zav Yisrael Asok B'Divrei Sarah, and then we add a second bracha on top of that. Zok the tour in Siman Mem Zayin Va'ol Yish Bracha Acheres Al HaTorah. We add, Asher Bacha Banu Mikolamim, V'nasan Lanu Es Torah So, Bracha Tashem Nesan HaTov, Yechavim B'Bricha So. When you recite the second bracha of Birchas HaTorah, I hope you all did this morning, what should you be thinking about? Not the fact that we have the Zuchus to learn Chulin, not the fact that we have the Zuchus to go to a Rabbi Shabbos HaGadol Josh. You know what you're supposed to be thinking about? Says the Tur, V'yechavim B'Bricha So, Al Maimed Har Sinai. And he explains, what are we supposed to think about in the second bracha of Birchas HaTorah relating to Maimon HaSinai? Asher bracha ban mikolamim v'kavanu fnei HaSinai v'hishmi'anu dvarim mitoch ha'esh. We heard the Torah. V'nasan, secondly, v'nasan lanu es Torah so ha'kdosha shi beis chayenu klichem daso shi mishtasheh abal kol yom. It sounds like the Torah is telling us that we got two things in HaSinai. We heard the Torah, of course, but there was something else. V'nasan lanu, the fact that it was given to us. The Torah sounds, just the mashmas halash of the Torah, that there's one thing that we were taught the Torah, and a second and independent point, that we were given the Torah. Which I thought that's really the same thing. Hashem taught us the Torah. He gave us the Torah, right? So, who did I see this from? Oh, yeah, the Aruch HaShulchan. In his Haggadah, called Lel Shimurim, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you know what this is telling us? This Torah is telling us that there's an added level of Nesinas HaTorah besides teaching us the Torah. Because the story of Tanur Shel Achnai that we're familiar with, right? When the Machlokas, Rebbe Lazar, the Baskel comes out that Halacha Rebbe Lazar, what do the Chachamim respond? Lo b'shamayim hi. Who has the Torah? Who has the authority? Who has the Bailus on the Torah? Klal Yisrael has the Bailus on the Torah. And that's what says the Aruch HaShulchan, we're saying, that's what the Torah is saying. The first point of Maimon HaSinai was that Hashem taught us the Torah. Hishmi anu dvarav mitochei, she taught us the Torah. Second, and apart from that, nasam lanu es toraso, he gave it to us that we have become the bailim on the Torah. And therefore, that added component is an added gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, separate and apart from the actual content of the Torah that he taught us, is the fact that he made us the Bailim, that lo b'shamayim hi, that we're the authorities, that we're, it's in our hands. We are tem afil mezidim, tem afil shogim, like we said by Kiddush HaKodesh. It's entirely our in our domain, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol's domain. And that's the second aspect, says the Aruch HaShulchan's Haggadah, Lo Shimurim. That's the second aspect. Avilu kevalu fnei asinei v'lona samlona to the Torah. Even if you didn't give us the Torah, it's musom meduyak. If you just brought us to Sinai and taught us all the mitzvahs, great. Not only that, but you also know samlona to the Torah. You actually gave it to us, gave us the dominion over it, gave us the authority over Torah, the bios over Torah. That's an edit, chesed, that you did for us. That's one pshat. Another pshat, which again I like very much, and I've mentioned in the past, I mentioned that at the Hachnas Sefer Torah this past week, is that Maimon Har Sinai had two chalakim. There was, of course, this is a different pshat. There was, of course, the Yediyas HaTorah, the Torah that Hashem taught us at Har Sinai. But separate and apart from that was the experience, the maimed, the sound and light show, the kolos, the brachim, the eish, the anan, the arafel. It was an incredible experience, separate and apart from the actual knowledge, the dal chalki shulchan aruch, the chavdal sifrei tanach. There was the kolos and the brachim, the experience. Rabbeinu Bechayi says that there are two chalakim of Torah. There's the experience, the emotional feelings of Torah, and separate and apart from that is the Yediyas HaTorah. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, an incredible line. Again, I said it this past Sunday. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, an incredible line. He says, these two chalakim of Torah were given to two parts of Klal Yisrael. Women were given the chalak of Torah of Maimon Har Sinai. They don't have mitzvah to learn Torah. But the emotions of Torah, the experience of Torah, the sound and light of Kivyachol that was Maimon Har Sinai, that was given as the nachla of the women. The Yediyas HaTorah, the actual knowledge, the content of the Torah, that's the nachla of the men. And the Rabbeinu Bechai concludes, Umi Yodea Im Ein Chelek Hanashim Chelek Yoser Gedola. That experiential aspect of Judaism, if we want to call it, that emotional aspect of Judaism, separate and apart from the Yediyas HaTorah, is a significant and maybe even greater than the actual Yediyas HaTorah. I could never say these words. Rabbeinu Bechai, I believe, says that. That's what we say. Ila kavana fnei ha-sinai, v'lon asan lana asa-Torah. Even if we had the Maimon Har Sinai, that experiential connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have an emotional bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if we didn't get the Torah, that would already be Dayenu. But the fact that we have this connection, we have this incredible experience of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and additionally, we also have Torah, that's a double chesed, yeah.
I know we feel this in general, but we have more feeling and men are more thing, but where does he get the source of this? Where does the Rabbeinu Bechai come from?
It's an official line in Dayena. I don't remember. I have to check it up inside. I think it's just a recognition of what happened at Hasina. I don't remember. I have to check it up. I mean, women are obviously exempt from Talmud Torah, but yeah, I have to see if he quotes a source. Okay, I want to finish off with two points about Shvoch HaMascha. We'll skip the Afikoman part. We'll talk about Shvoch HaMascha. We said yesterday in the Shabbos HaGadol Joshua that Shvoch HaMascha is the fulcrum, the switching point where we switch from Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to talk about the Geula Hasida, to talk about Hallel, the second half of the Seder, and go into the Geula from our Galus. But I want to ask a very simple question. Why do we open up the door at night? Because it's Lel Shimurim, and we feel safe, we feel open, okay, we could open up the door, and we don't say regular Kriya Shema, and they'll say it's Lel Shimurim. If that's the case, why do we leave the door locked until we finished eating the Seuda, the Afikoman, and then we finish eating the Afikoman, then we're ready to point out that, oh, tonight is Lel Shimurim, I'm going to open the door. And of course, we'll say Shvoch HaMascha. Why don't leave the door open the whole night if it's Lel Shimurim? So I heard a very beautiful answer that there is a halacha in Korban Pesach, that Korban Pesach had to be eaten, of course, within its chabura. You couldn't switch from chabura to chabura. It also had to be eaten in one bayis. You couldn't take Korban Pesach mi bayis la bayis. So therefore, the people, the Chabur, when they had their campaigns, they'd be very, very careful. You know, nobody's, you know, no, we're the door, we're locking the doors, no one's leaving. At which point could we go upstairs and say halal on the roofs, as the Gemara would say? They said halal on the roofs of Yerushalayim because there wasn't enough room on the ground floor. Korban Pesach had to be eaten on the ground floor. That means you have millions and millions of Jews coming to eat Korban Pesach all on the ground floor. There's not enough room on the ground floor, so they would do it in shifts. They would eat on the ground floor, go upstairs and say halal there. So when would they be ready to, okay, unlock the door and let people out? After they finished eating the Korban Pesach. When do we do that? After we eat the afikoman, only then we could unlock the door. Very cute idea. I like that chat. Okay, but I want to finish off with the Haggadah's Leil Shimurim. I'll tell you what happened. I was looking for the Aruch HaShulchan's Leil Shimurim because I thought he had a shtick on Shvuah HaMascha. I typed into my computer, my Otzer HaChachma program, Haggadah's Leil Shimurim, and it gave me a different Haggadah called Leil Shimurim that wasn't the Aruch HaShulchan's, but I saw what he said and I wanted to share with you. It's an interesting idea. Shvoch hamascha el hagoyim asher yidu'ucha v'amlam lachos asher b'shimcha lo kara'u. It sounds like there are two groups of people that we're relating to, and I think this, we'll finish with this, and this is a very important idea for our galus, because that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's these two groups of goyim. Hagoyim asher lo yidu'ucha. Look at what he's. I don't know who the author is, but it's Haggadah's Leil Shimurim. It's an old Haggadah. Hamafarshim zal kasu mikan va'elach mesaper al inyan yemos hamashiach, which is exactly the point of my Shabbos Haggadah drash yesterday. That from Shvuah Chamascha we start talking about, now we finish Sivitzis Mitzrayim, now we're talking about the Gula Hasida. Vani hadal biragl me'avora. I will continue this idea. Ve'esha dinis kavein al beiz umos halalu. The two phrases of Shvoch Hamaskel Hagoyim, Asher Yaducha, and secondly, Va'al HaMamlachos Asher B'Shimcha Lo Karo, those two phrases refer to the new two nations in whose galus we are in right now, Esav and Yishmael, Rome, or the Christianity, and Islam. Shehem Her Ulanu Mikol Malchei Adama. They caused us greater pain than all of the previous galios. Cheneged Esav Amar Shvoch Hamaskel Hagoyim. Why does it say the word goyim? Because who was referenced as the word goyim? Shezaru nikru goyim, because it said Reishis goyim amalek. The pasuk says goyim, referring to Esav. And the second pasuk. Now keep in mind, does Asher lo yada'ucha shemishtach le'alilim ilmim. So what does it mean, Asher lo yada'ucha? Esav, which is Christianity, believes in the Trinity. They are kofar in the fundamental belief in Achdus Hashem. Islam, on the other hand, believes in the same God that we have. They believe in the God that created the world in 7 days. It's the same God that I believe is the God that created the world in 7 days, which is why, for example, there are many achronim poskim halachomais who say that you're permitted to go into a church.
No, you can't.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant. You're permitted to go into a mosque. That's not a base of Avodah Zarah because it's the same God. And you're not allowed to go into a church because that's a base of Avodah Zarah. There are poskim who pass like that halachomais. The Ran says not like that. Gosh, if you go like the Ran, but the Ran says any formal religion other than Judaism is by default called Avodah Zarah, but others say not like that. So that's why Shvocha Masel Hagoyim Asher Lo Yuda'ucha, the ones that don't know you, that's Christianity. Oh, Uchenege Nesi Yishmael V'amalachos, for that we say something else. Asher B'shimcha Lo Karo Shem Hagoyim Sheyodim Es Hashem Einim Karim Yishmael. They know God. They have the same God. They just choose not to follow the dictates of the Torah. They have the same God. They believe in the same God, but they choose to choose in a different path. We should be Zocha that HaKadosh Baruch should fulfill the request that we ask, Shoach Hamas and Al-Goyim, they should protect us from all the different nations who come to attack us in all kinds of insidious ways, and we should be Zocha to the Gula Hasida, and be Zocha that indeed, Hashata Hacha L'Shana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael.
We actually call out Hashem
Yishma El, that's the Koch.